Con, I love your school bio. I think it's super cool.
Oh.
Doing business without manipulating your customers? What a crazy concept. Talk to me.
It sounds crazy, but I think it's the way to go now, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, for me, marketing is a way to spread your message and not only a tool to get money from people. And I used to say, I earn my money once people are really happy about what I delivered. So it's not about just collecting payment, it's about earning money. And for me, as soon as I feel like someone is losing something in the equation, which is often the case when there's manipulation involved, I don't feel really good about that money. And for me, I don't just want to have money. I want true wealth. And it's also, there's not only the dollar as a currency, it's the relationship, for how long we can support the client. And if the client feels manipulated, there's no way it's gonna last long.
How'd you get into the online space? Tell me a little bit about your origin story.
Yeah. So I started an agency when I think I was 21 something. And when I started that agency, it's funny because there was not really social medias, so I had to do everything old school. And actually, my first client, I did a big mistake. I sent an email to many people, and they were all in copy, and yeah, and CC, and then they told me, "Dude, you stupid! What are you doing?" And I didn't know what I was doing. So there was no mentor, no coach online, no books on business. So I had to figure out everything on my own. But I started to work really hard, and as a service provider, it was really, really, really hard. Like as a consultant, it was hard because it's always your fault when it's not working, and you have very thin margins. So I was like, there must be another way to do things. And that's when I started to see young guys online making a lot of money, and I thought they were scammers. And then I was like, I have to check this out because they may be lying, but I can maybe learn something.
So you owned a small business, and that small business was bringing you a lot of stress, bringing you a lot of chaos. And now you talk about this incredible thing called a happy small business. So what's the difference between those two things?
Oh yeah. Like a total difference, a huge difference. So for me, a happy business is a business with a healthy growth. So it's the kind of growth that is good for you. When I say for you, is for your physical health, your mental health, for your family, for your relationships, for your bank account, for your team, for your clients, and even for the world if you're ambitious. I feel like if I'm growing and it's only good for me and not for my clients or for my team, it's not the kind of growth I want. So in a happy small business, happiness is one of the currencies you are also looking for. It's not only the top line revenue.
It seems so counterintuitive. Like we were joking earlier, one of the things you talk about is not manipulating your customers. It's like, wow, like what a crazy concept. But somewhere along the line of this like insane internet game that we're playing, as Kirby likes to refer to it, is we've got comfortable with like scamming. We've got comfortable with all these tactics. We've got comfortable with, yeah, I'm going to work 80 hours per week to try to make, at the start, 10K per month and then upwards off that. When did you decide to make that very intentional transition?
For me, that was a very natural move because I started to do the sleazy tactics, right? And oh, you do a webinar, you don't say that it's not live, you make people think it's live, stuff like that. And I didn't feel good when I did it, but then I was like, there must be another way. So let me do the opposite way. It's like I'm telling people on my sales page, hey, you know what? I'm doing something for free, but I'm gonna pitch you something. And yes, I want your money, but I want it because I know that I can help you, and I'm dedicated to help people. And that's how passionate I am about you guys. And it was crazy because people were like, oh, thanks God. For the first time, someone is telling the truth. And they were so... And if you think about it, as human beings, we're looking for security and safety. And if someone does not tell you that they want something from you, your internal system is going to try to protect itself. But when you tell people up front, I'm going to sell you something, I'm going to pitch you something, then they can relax. And it's way, way better for the relationship.
Yeah, really interesting. You can actually turn the alarm bell off in somebody's head just by being upfront and honest.
Yeah.
Crazy. So how did that practically roll out in your life? And how did that lead to school and what you're doing today?
Yeah, so for me, community is something very important. And I think I'm a little bit of a contrarian. So I do things, you know, like when people zig, I zag. And I've always been this way. Sometimes it's not good, but sometimes it's a blessing. And what I realized is so many entrepreneurs were using influencers' tactics and strategies. And same, I was like, there must be another way because I don't really need a big audience. I need a community. I need people who feel related to what I say. I need people who can like see themselves through me. And as a matter of fact, I was looking at one guy. He impressed me with his community. He had like 50,000 followers and I had only 200 followers on Instagram. And I was making like around 30 to 40K per month at that time with 200 followers. And then I was like, wow, this is the difference between a community and an audience. But then, like many people doing that on Facebook groups, well, it's for me, it felt like a waste of time because you do a lot of great content. You go live, you do a lot of things, and then only 5% of people, 10% at max are seeing your content. And for me, it's like a waste of time. So with school, for me, it was just the revelation. It was like, wow, like people can actually see everything we're posting. And I started with client groups. So to put my clients in the group and they were seeing all my messages. Sounds crazy, right?
And that engagement like leads to so much. Like we were chatting to someone, I think like a few days ago, and they were saying, you know, the number one best thing about school is the fact that people actually see your stuff. Yeah. And you're like, how have we arrived in this place in the world where it's like, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into the content and the value that you're actually trying to deliver to the people who have said, yes, I want this value, you know, and they don't get it because of, you know, lack of engagement or algorithms or distractions or whatever it is. So that core community that you're talking about, like there was an amazing post you put in school where you talked about launching and making 141K in 8 days with a multi-tiered membership.
Yeah.
Unpack a little bit of that for us.
Yeah. So long story short, I was doing like many coaches do online, a 3-month program, a high ticket program. And then I was like, again, there must be another way, but I will explain why. For me, and I don't mean to disrespect people who do it, it was just not working for me. For me, it's like the gym model. It's like a gym works only if not all the members come. So if they all come, you cannot use the gears, so it's not working. And for coaching, it's not right if it's working like that. Let's say you have 100 people in a Zoom call and you know you won't be able to ask your question and then you will go to the next one and the next one. And next thing you know, you've wasted like one month without being able to ask one question. So for me, that model was only working for coaches and not for coaches, for the clients. And I was like, yeah, there must be another way to impact way more people in a low ticket offer. So for me, that was a stretch. I have a 5K offer that I turned into a 97 per month offer. And I can tell you, man, I was sweating. I was like, am I doing like a huge mistake? But then it was more like a gut feeling that it was the right thing to do. So I launched it. I did a challenge, a free 5-day challenge. So when I do free 5-day challenge, I always do a little bit of ad to get new people in and grow the community. And then I have a paid VIP option. It's like 97. So the ad, it's paying for the ads. And all I was doing was providing like real value. And people know that I'm providing so much value that even my clients from my mastermind, they come to the free challenge. They're like, no, really. And I'm always amazed. Like people come and they're like, this is so good. We're learning so much. So then I used that as a launch. But the best part is there was a big concept behind it. So I said, this is like Professor Xavier Institute, you know, like X-Men.
Yeah.
It's like the institute for entrepreneurs. So let's just come. It's like X-Men, and we all gather those who want to have an impact in the world. And we're just changing the model. We go low ticket so you guys don't have to break the bank. And like they were crazy. And I never sold as many spots, you know, coaching, as I did. Actually, there was 300 people registered in the challenge, and 100 of those bought it, plus some of them bought the mastermind. And so that was like a huge conversion. And I was on fire. I was really on fire.
Yeah, well, as you should be, do you know what I mean? To get that feedback for the gut feeling that you had is a really, really special thing. And that's how you know you're on the right track, man.
Yeah, but you know, like, in hindsight, you think this way, but when you're doing it, you have all kinds of thoughts like, should I really do it? And I think up until the last 2 hours before pitching, I was thinking maybe I won't say that price, and I will say like 2K or 3K. I was doubting so much. And I want to say that also to people who are watching. It's great to have mentors, to have coaches, but sometimes when your gut tells you something, your intuition tells you something, maybe you should at least try. If you fail, well, there's still the model you can apply from your mentor, but sometimes it's important to stay sovereign over what you think can work for you.
Mm. So, how does that feed into the low maintenance, low tech aspect to a happy small business?
Yeah, that was like, for me, that was the best thing. So I used like many people to have many calls or to have to coach setters and closers. And I was like, I'm done with this. There must be another way. There's always another way. Like if you know me, there's always another way. So I was like, there must be another way. And I used to sell with just like a one sheet, you know, one Google sheet for many years, Facebook, a Facebook group, Google sheet, and that was it. So I was like, yeah, now it's lower ticket, plus there are two tiers, one that is 97 per month or 997, and one that is now like 1K per month. So I was like, there must be a way to just, you know, engage in a conversation and send like a Google Doc. So I tried that and I was so happy because I removed like half of my calendar, like from one day to another, went just like free. So I had a lot of free time. And what I call low maintenance, it's like, even with my team, it's asynchronous way of working. So I don't do a lot of complicated things. Sometimes I love to geek out a little bit, but I love to keep things very simple. I have my school group. I have like one page and I have content that I enjoy doing. And it's not really more than that. And even for people who want to upgrade from one tier to another, it's just like on school, just, you know, the chat, we just, you know, exchanging like a few words and I'm like, yeah, just come. It's fun. If you don't like it, we just downgrade you. And for me, it's so, so cool to be able to do that. Very simply, low tech. I have a website, but it's just to look good. You know, I don't really use it and it's fun.
So how specifically did you get rid of half of the sales appointments on your calendar? You literally will just DM people inside school, and if then you send them the sheet, and then they just sign up. That's the process.
Yeah, yeah, and like when there's so it's also like the resistance. If you have a resistance, a price resistance, people will need to talk to you, and also it's a habit. Like I realized, and I also owe that to one of my mentors, Scott Alford. He's so like big on not talking to people over the phone, because he wants to have more free time than time on the phone. And literally now people, when they ask me to talk on the phone, I'm like, no, let's just talk, you know, just send me a text, like a very quick text. And it's so much shorter. So they're on point. They go straight to the point, And we exchange like a few words, and I'm like, I'm sending you something. Just let me know if you're in or not. And if they say I'm in, cool. They have the link, they pay, and they get in. And then everything is also automated, because I love to create some automations. So automations is not really something, it's complex in a sense when you do it, but it makes your life so much easier. And I have so many automations that take care of a lot of things.
So awesome. I love that. You know, because if you hop on a sales call, it's maybe like 5 minutes of just like small talk. And then you maybe will spend, depending on how long the sales call is, let's say 20 minutes, like chatting around the issue. And then as you get closer to the end, then the real questions start coming up. How much is it? I'm afraid of that price. And then you realize, oh, this person was actually never going to buy in the first place. And it could have just been a little quick text, like you say. So I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, there's also like, I think that there's a moment where it's better to have people on the phone. When you launch an offer for the first time, you need feedback. The type of feedback you won't have over messages. So I also love engaging with people, but when I choose to. Because when you're forced to have dozens of sales calls, you know, sales calls back to back, you're at some point, you don't enjoy your business anymore. It's like painful. And when something is painful, so I'm big on mindset, when something is painful, unconsciously, you may not want to scale the business. So you will self-sabotage, don't understand why you do something, why you behave in a certain way. And I also want like balance, good balance. And for me, if I'm not healthy, that's not good. I don't see the point of doing something you love if when you, at the end of the day, you're like energy, you lack enthusiasm, and then it sucked everything, like your free time, your enthusiasm. So at some point I had to make a choice. Yeah,
absolutely. You have this lovely concept I've heard you say called creating your own clients. Talk to me a little bit about that and how you use school to actually make that happen.
Yeah, I think this is a concept, and I hope people will get it. So most people, especially when selling high tickets, they go directly to the 3%. So it's 3 plus 7%. So it's like those who are ready to buy. And when you do that, you pay the higher price for ads, and also in terms of attention, because it's like you need to be really catchy to get them. If you're not catchy, they go do something else or pick someone else and buy somewhere else. But when you focus on the 97% or 90% of those who are not ready yet, who will need more engagement with you, which is really good when you do that in a group, like in a school group, you can just build trust. You can build rapport, relationship, and actually, like Google says something, and it's not, it does not come out of the blue. It's something they experience and found. It's the rule of 7-11-4. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's like someone...
The number of times you see somebody in different places?
Like if someone, when they become a client, it's like they've consumed 7 hours of content, 11 touch points with 4 different channels.
Wow.
So if you have long content in your group, short form content, you talk to people, you know, over messages, they see you somewhere else. It's like different channels. They consume different stuff, different touch point. Then it short, and it's, it does not matter how long it takes. If they consume those 7 hours in 7 months or in 7 hours, you know, so they just end up becoming a client. Once you understand that, you realize the power of a group where people will just come back into the group and consume content. And if the content is great, they will come again and they will come for a Zoom session. So it's like 1 hour with you. That is so powerful. But you have to let go of the need to get results fast. Because when you do that, you get like way better leads. Not leads, like you have like true prospects and you create your own high ticket clients. Mm. So maybe you sell them something like a 47 masterclass, $97 masterclass, and then you turn them into high ticket clients. You make them your high ticket clients. And it's way easier and way better to get people who look up to you to become your high ticket clients than going to the battlefield and battle with other coaches to take, you know, the 3% and no, that's me. I have to be bolder than you. So it makes a huge difference. And I'm an advocate for happy, peaceful, you know, cool. So it's, for me, that works.
Yeah, man. That's so, so cool. There's like a million things going through my head right now. One of them, I was with a coach recently and he said that he stopped measuring his days in terms of how much he harvests. And he now measures his days in terms of how many seeds that he plants. And I love that mindset that you've just shared. It, when your community, it's like every morning you wake up and you're just sowing a couple of seeds and you're doing it because it's the right thing to do and because it's generous and because it's exciting because it's beautiful and all that sort of stuff. And then the second thing is, you know, we've all heard that quote, the grass is always greener on the other side. And it's very easy to get shiny object syndrome where it's like, oh, I need to run ad. No, forget about ads. I need to get all into organic Instagram. No, forget about that. And I love, someone's had a creative spin on it where they say the grass will always be greener unless we water our own garden.
Definitely.
And dude, you just embody that so well, I think.
Thank you. And I really agree. Like, I love what you said about the seeds and harvesting. It's also because we, like a lot of entrepreneurs think they have control over results, but we don't. Like, predictability is a scam. There is no predictability. There is predictability until something happens. And we have no control over results. We have control over our actions. So what I look is like, what do I do on a daily basis? This creates something exponential. Because if you keep doing the same thing and you have the right system, it's not going to happen if you don't have the right system. But if you have the right system and you keep doing the same things over and over again, it's going to be exponential. But when you look at an exponential curve, it starts pretty flat. And then like it, you know, like the hockey stick. And yeah. When people are in this line and it's like a slow, you know, like, and they think nothing is happening and they lose patience. And they go try something else and try something else and try something else. So of course, when you're in this loop, you will always be attracted to short-term thinking, you know, get rich quick schemes. And it's not always a win when you do that.
Yeah, man. Well, I think for every single person listening to this who's just started their school or they're looking to grow their school, that message about what part on the curve are you actually on right now? Because there's a lot of us who are just in that kind of middle part right now. And so I think that that's super, super encouraging for all of us to hear, really, no matter what stage we're at in the business journey. Cal, just to finish, tell us about you're launching an English community, which is super exciting.
Yes.
Not just for French people, which is exciting. Tell us about it. And, you know, there'll be a link to Cannes community in the description wherever you're listening. But Cannes, just in the last kind of couple of minutes, just tell us about that community and what we can expect.
So it's called the Happy Small Business, full of joy, impact, profit, and free time. So that's the concept of building a business that is not a sole eating monster, profit eating monster, and actually just building a business around free time, profit, happiness, and impact with simplicity in mind. So of course, I'm a contrarian, so I do things differently. And for people who've been like burnt out or want to try something else, I'm not the one who's gonna build like an empire, but you can still have a business that does 1 million profit, 300K profit, or whatever you want. And as long as it feels good to you, for me, that's a good thing. And also a business that provides healthy growth, like I said. Mm-hmm. So for people who want to experience that, know more about it, and especially get a lot of value because I'm very generous, they can just check the group out and have some fun.
It's awesome. Cam, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for all the seeds that you've planted in our minds. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they all kind of grow and develop over the next few weeks and months. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting this podcast and being such a great host. And by the way, I just wanted to say something. It's always good to check your own thoughts because you know what? Like, first, when I saw Sam online, I thought he was a scammer. I was like, there's no way this dude is telling the truth. So I checked it. I even got like a hacked version of his course. So I was like, I want to check if he's legit. So when I saw he was legit, I went and buy the program. I was like, I need to buy it. Then I bought another one. Then I got into the mastermind. Then I invested in school. So definitely check your own thoughts because most of the time you're just preventing your own growth by judging people.
That's actually a really good lesson about providing free value. I mean, I haven't got the actual numbers, but anecdotally, the number of people who pirated Sam's courses back in the day is just like so high, who then went on to become paid customers. Like that in and of itself is proof of like the free value, free community model, and then the ascension, you know. So yeah.
And I'm like, I know it's bad, and I don't suggest people to do that, but I wanted to be really transparent and honest about it, just because it that was a big lesson for me. And that's the only time I did that in my life, just because I wasn't sure. I was like, he looks like he's a scammer, but in the meantime, like what he says sounds legit. So I have to check.
It's so awesome. Well, yeah, you got to check. You got to turn the stone over. Once you see what's underneath it, then you'll know. And when you know, you know. Thanks, Cam. Appreciate it.
Thanks.